You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
If you have your Bibles or your confirmation tool, turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to begin our reading at the 11th verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at the 11th verse. And it reads, "For no other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Yes, sir. I want to speak from the subject from eternity and beyond. From eternity and beyond. Buzz Lightyear popularized a phrase from infinity and beyond. The phrase has since appeared on T-shirts. It has appeared on a song, in a song about single ladies with a ring. I'm told that the humanist movement has adopted the phrase and linked it to meaning we can have all this and eternity too, while not believing in our Lord and salvation and our God. What I found to be the most interesting thing about this phrase is that it was reported that scientists, mathematicians from both Harvard and MIT and other intellectuals took on the task to figure out if it was even possible to go beyond infinity. Some others wanted to know, what did Buzz Lightyear mean when he said from infinity and beyond? Now, for those of you who don't have little ones, who don't have children or grandchildren, who don't watch cartoons, I want you to know that Buzz Lightyear is a cartoon character. Why in the world would we need to know what does he mean when he says from infinity and beyond? If we would research the Word of God with the same intensity when the pastor, the preacher, or teacher says something we don't understand. It would be more profitable for us. It would be, we would discover more than anything these scientists or scholars or intellectuals will ever discover. It's in the book. The Apostle Paul had to leave Thessalonica because of the people's lack of understanding of the Word of God. When he arrived in Berea, he preached to them, and then he wrote in the 17th chapter of Acts, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scripture daily. Whether those things were so. They came with an open mind. They came and they searched the scriptures. Brothers and sisters, I just want to talk about from eternity and beyond. And I hope that I'll be clear enough that you will not need a college degree to figure out what I mean when I say from eternity and beyond. Jesus says in John 3:15 that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. In the 16th verse, he says, said that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We do know that eternal life and everlasting life means living forever with no end. So the question arises, how can we get beyond eternal life? I'm glad you asked that question. How do we go further than everlasting life? Brothers and sisters, what I'm saying is we need to go beyond just being saved. The Philippian jailer asked Apostle Paul, sir, what must I do to be saved? Yes, sir. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thine house. Yes, we have just celebrated what our nation calls Thanksgiving Day. It's a time of reflection. It's a time to give thanks for our blessings. And I don't know about you, but I give thanks to God for saving my soul. Yes, sir. I thank God for touching my heart and leading me into the saving knowledge of Jesus the Christ. Yes, I know he didn't have to do it, but he did it anyway. He died for me. Yes, for me. He died on a cross for me. He was buried and rose again on the third day for me. He did that for me. I thank God Jesus is alive and he is interceding for me. I thank God that Jesus is coming back again for me. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is the bare minimum we can do to be saved. As a matter of fact, it's the maximum we can do to be saved. This is our starting point, but it should not be our ending point. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace ye are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works. Least any man should boast. Nicodemus came to Jesus, and Jesus told him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Peter writes in his letter in the second chapter, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, we need to go beyond just being saved. When we grow in the Lord, when we live holy lives, when we live Christ-centered lives, when we live a life where we sin less and less and less, we are going beyond just being saved. Jesus did the work of salvation on the cross. He did, and at the tomb. He died for our sins. He shed his blood, and he paid our sin debt. We go beyond just being saved from the penalty of sin when we become more like Christ. The Bible says that Jesus healed the sick and gave sight to the blind. In other words, he went about doing good. Ephesians 2:10 says that, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Paul, the apostle, writing to the church in Corinth, a church like many of the churches today, in a metropolis much like our metropolitan areas today. Some have said that Corinth was like a combination of New York and Las Vegas, saying that it was too big with too many people, jammed in too small an area with people too uptight to live together, with a mixture of sailors, businessmen, and prostitutes who work the streets. Here in the third chapter, the Apostle Paul starts out using three different metaphors. One of the family, one of a field or garden, and one of a building. In speaking of the family, the Apostle Paul said, I have to speak to you as babes in Christ. He said, I have fed you with milk and not meat. He said, I could not speak to you as spiritual because you're too worldly. You're still too worldly. In fact, he states that the arguing you're doing among yourselves and then aligning yourself with your favorite preacher that proves that you need to be fed with the milk of the word. Paul goes on to state that, using the garden metaphor, he stated that he planted the seed and Apollos watered the seed. But he says that we are servants of the owner. We cannot grow the seed, nor can we take credit for it, because it's God that caused it to grow. Paul states that we are Team Jesus. We are one. We are no more than servants of God, doing the work that God has gave them to do. Don't look at us like we all that. Brothers and sisters, it's all right to have your favorite preacher, your favorite teacher, but I want you to know that God might send the message for you through the preacher you don't like, through the teacher you don't like,
to the one that's not as eloquent as Apollo. It might not be the same ethnic as Peter. You can't just listen to the word of God from your favorite. He writes, Paul is trying to say what the Hebrew writer said in the 12th chapter. Look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. For who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame that was and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look to Jesus. Not Apollos, not Paul. Not Peter. We are only servants of God, each with his own work. We are laborers together with God. But Acts, the first chapter and the 8th verse tells us, Jesus telling his disciples, and he tells us, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the world. We are to work with God and for God. We have our part to do, and God has his part to do. God will not do our part, and we can't do God's part. Is it Apostle Paul want to make sure he's making it plain so we understand? So he uses another metaphor, that of a building, while at the same time giving instructions to those who would glorify themselves and rather than Jesus the Christ. Amen. So here in our text, it says, for no other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we have the basics. We have the gospel. This is where we came into this relationship with the gospel. Right. Ephesians says, in whom we trusted. After that, we heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Spirit of promise. We cannot lay a new foundation, but we can build on it. And we can build on that one that's all has already been laid. And we need to let God carry us on to maturity. We need to be in a local church. We need to be in a place to have sound doctrine. We need to make sure that that place is teaching what thus saith the Lord. We need to search the scriptures. We need to make sure that they're not serving up hay and stubble, but the word of God. All of the Bible is the word of God. And all of the New Testament is good news. The gospel is proclaimed in the gospels, but is explained in the epistles. I'm just trying to emphasize that we need to go beyond just being saved. Even if you could continue to do those things you do and be saved, why should you? The Corinthians like showy gifts, and they like to show off their gifts as well. They were glorifying man, and they was choosing their favorite preacher and glorifying themselves as they used their gifts. But the book of Colossians says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Brothers and sisters, no life is hidden from the Lord Jesus. Every thought, every motive, every word, every deed, Jesus can see it. And it's subject to his righteous evaluation. I'm 63 years old. It seems that the closer I get to retirement age, the more concerned and the more aware
I am of my retirement benefits. When I was 23, I didn't care about retirement benefits. But I worked anyway. I was working for those right now benefits. The time is coming when we will not be able to work. And we will need to live off of our retirement benefits. I work for God, and He blesses me day by day. Every day I wake up on this side of heaven is a blessing. He gives me some right now blessings. But I also work for God because the retirement benefits are out of this world. We in the church will be evaluated, not judged, as we stand before Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And if I could just take a peek and see what we would be evaluated on, I might find that we might be evaluated on whether or not we were good stewards. How did we use our gifts, our abilities, our health, and the resources for God's glory and to further His kingdom? Did we run the course God gave us with obedience, without giving up? I'm reminded of the Hebrew writer who writes, "Wherefore seeing we also we are encompassed about with this great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run the race with patience." With patience, the race that is set before us. Might even ask, were we wise builders? How do we spend life's energy? I'm reminded of a newscast just a few weeks ago where there was a high-rise fire. The apartment building was on fire. The firefighters had a difficult time rescuing the people, and everybody didn't make it out alive. Some lives was lost, and those that were saved were just barely saved. They later showed the survivors were all in a gym, sleeping with sleeping bags, laying on the floor. They had been saved, but they had lost everything, all of their possessions. They were able only to escape with their lives. Later, it was determined that the building was built with flammable materials, highly flammable materials. That's the picture of the just saved. If any man work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Every man work shall manifest itself. Jesus said, In my Father's house, there's many rooms. If it wasn't so, I'd tell you. The question is, will you be laying in the ward with everybody else in a sleeping bag? Or would you be in a mansion? It's a difference. Just saved. I don't want to live this life poor and suffer and go through all of this and then get to the next life and be just as poor. I want to do more than just. I want all of those who are not saved to just be saved. But if you are saved, why not live like a king when you get to heaven? Why not have all the rewards that God wants you to have? Why not have all of that Jesus desire you to have? But you can't do it once you get there. You got to do it now.
The work is done now. If you want to live off your retirement benefits, the work has to be done now. I'm about through. Jesus says, lay up your treasures in heaven, where moth and can't steal and rust. Brothers and sisters, they are taking, cutting pension benefits of those who are unable to work anymore. Social Security is threatening to do the same. 401s is subject to suffer a loss at any time. Some of the guys at work ask me why I haven't retired. And I know that, and I tell them that. I'm trying to make up for the loss. I'm working so just in case there is some loss. Brothers and sisters, I know some of you have been in the Lord for a little while. Maybe you done stopped working. But I think you need to consider the loss. I know the Lord gonna say, wait a minute, Philip. You remember when you did that? Uh-oh, I got to cut. I got to make a cut for that. And by the time he get through cut, I still want to have some. What I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters, is we need to have to be more than just saved. So I want everybody to be saved. Yes, yeah. But we need to be more than just saved. Finally, my brothers and sisters. I like it when a preacher get to that finally part. When you say finally, that means he's just going to be 20 more minutes. Finally, preach for 20 more minutes. Paul, the apostle, writes in the 15th chapter, for I have delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. That's what I'm telling you. I'm delivering to you, first of all. All of this had to come to me first. I'm delivering to you, first of all, that which I also received. How Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried and that he rose again according to the scriptures. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much ye know that your labor is not in vain. Jesus died on the cross. I know I've already given you the gospel. Jesus came down through 42 generations, born of the Virgin, walked the earth 3 years. He given sight to the blind. He turned water into wine. But he didn't stop there. Jesus went on down to Calvary. Died on the cross for your sins and mine. But he didn't stay dead. 3 days later, he got up from the grave with all power in his hand. And I know Jesus is coming back again. He's coming back for me. He's coming back for all those who love the Lord. All those who believe that Jesus died on the cross for their sins, that he was buried and rose again on the third day and have accepted it in his heart, in their heart to live. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. And we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.